Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one and only show on the internet where we talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, space lasers, robots, swords, knights. What else we discuss in the day? Vampires, underground bunkers, anything like this, anything that piques our interest. I am Dan Selke. This is Daniel Roman. We, too, are the hosts of this show, as well as the editors of winterscoming.net, which is also accessible via winterscoming.com. And nice. Maybe winterscoming.co.uk. Probably not. Hello, Martha Lilly. Good to see you. Good to see everybody here. And as usual, we have a big one for you today. We were off last week, and we ran our best shows of 2024 pre-recorded show. We're also going to have a best shows, or the shows we're most looking forward to, of 2025 coming up in a couple of weeks. But here, for one last time in the year of our Lord 2024, we are here to come at you live and to discuss things with each other in a live setting and talk to you, talk to each other, talk about things. Daniel, what things are we talking about today?
Well, it feels very circular, you know. I don't think we started the year talking about this, but we're going to end talking about it. So it feels very full circle for some reason. Don't ask me why. It's the Wheel of Time. This is our last show of the year, and the Wheel of Time happens to be dropping a ton of news and updates, castings. They got a new trailer. So we're going to be talking about all that stuff. We've got some Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon type stuff to get through later in the show. And then, of course, we'll be telling you what we're watching, what we're reading, what we are enjoying as part of our overall human experience. But first, the wheel weaves as the wheel wills, and it wills that we talk about the Wheel of Time.
Way you ready? Forecast.
Yes.
Yeah. The Wheel of Time has been a good show for two seasons now. I feel like it has an opportunity to become the big fantasy cheese on the block with season three. Season one was more or less well received, but a kind of divisive. Season two was a step up.
Yeah.
And season three is looking very solid. It adapts a book a lot of people are looking forward to, The Shadow Rising, not pictured here. Which I know people like a lot. I've now finished reading it, and it is a fun one. It seems like it's getting its sea legs. This trailer they dropped the other week, which we weren't around to talk about, we can talk about now, was very confident and very eerie. And you, as a Wheel of Time expert who has read these books more than once or just the once?
I've only read them once, so I would use expert lightly. I've read them once. I've revisited a couple of them more than once, but I've not read the overall series. I'm probably due for a reread, maybe in time for season four, because that is quite a commitment.
How you can reread that 14 book giant doorstopper of a series before the new season? I'm impressed, but
That's why I said season four. I'm not going to cram it in before March. That sounds like a formula for burnout. But I do think, you know, the Wheel of Time lends itself well to stuff like that because there are secrets that come out late in this series that recontextualize a lot of earlier stuff that we can't even really discuss because it would be such wild spoilers for people. And one of the nice things about this show is that I think it does have the potential to become the big fantasy titan on the block, as it were. It kind of has always had that potential. It's kind of funny to me that all these studios are like, what fantasy can we adapt? And it's like, look, the Wheel of Time is one of the most famous fantasy series of all time. It's the obvious choice. It's amazing to me that Jeff Bezos has taken so long to realize it. But yeah, so anyway, this season, like you said, it's adapting The Shadow Rising. We've also got some little hints that it is going to be pulling in material from at least book three, The Dragon Reborn, as well. And whether it'll pull in from book five, that'll be interesting to see. We can talk about that a little bit in this show, but being cagey about spoilers. So yeah, very exciting times. The teaser trailer had a lot of stuff in it, and we're going to talk about some of it.
Yeah, why don't you, as a filthy casual, who only read the books once, walk us through some of the images that stood out to you?
Yes, a shameful one-time through reader. Yeah, so the first image we're going to look at is the first image of the trailer. Which I think is a kind of a good baseline image to talk about this location. So that is Randall Thor in the center, standing next to Moiraine, who's got a fun hat in this scene. Why does Moiraine have a fun hat? I don't know. It's hot. They are in a place called the Aiel Waste, or the Threefold Land, as the Aiel call it. This is the homeland of the like desert dwelling warrior people we met in season two. Rand is going to go there this season, basically to win them to his cause, to help him fight against the Shadow, because the Aiel have their own prophecies about the Dragon Reborn, and who they call the Kara Karn, which means Chief of Chiefs. And the way the show is doing this is a little different than the books. But in the show, Avienda, the Maiden of the Spear, and her two friends, Bane and Chiad, saw Rand on the tower at Falm with the big fiery dragon. And that to them was the sign. Here's the guy we've been looking for. Let's bring him back to our people so that we can all know the time has come to fight the Shadow. The Aiel have been waiting for this, like culturally. This is a lot of their culture is built around this idea of waiting for this moment to happen. So as part of becoming the Chief of Chiefs, proving himself, Rand will have to go to this city called Ruidian, which is a really, really beloved part of the books. It might be Ruidian. I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. Use your fantasy brain to interpret.
I listen to the audio books.
What do they say? So what does Michael Kramer call it?
I know they say Moiraine, not Moiraine. And they say
care about that.
And I know they say Roidian.
Roidian? That sounds like something that happens to your butt when you poop too hard, so I'm not going to say it. Ruidian. I always said Ruidian, and I am not Michael Kramer or Kate Redding, so I'm just going to keep saying that. So this is a mysterious place that's covered in fog here. Rand essentially goes through visions there, and Moiraine goes there too, and she also gets visions. And this trailer is largely built around that. There are a lot of scenes of Rand walking by some glass columns of this giant tree there that is also in Ruidian. That's the Avendisora, which is like the tree of life. Moiraine basically, the show is doing some interesting things with this, where it's saying her visions are that if she doesn't die, Rand will die. That's a little different than the book, where we never quite learn what Moiraine saw in Ruidian. This is something fans have been really looking forward to. So it is a big deal that we are getting it, and they seemingly put a lot of eggs in the Ruidian basket. Do you have any thoughts on Ruidian now that I've rambled endlessly?
It's Roidian. Okay, next image.
Okay, that's fair. So the next one we're going to look at is another Rand in the Aiel Waste picture. And this one we can just talk briefly about because, as I mentioned, season three is going to be a large portion of that is about Rand proving himself to the Aiel that he is the chief they want. That will not go uncontested. There is another dude who is incensed at the idea that Rand, who is a wetlander, as they call them, he's not from the Aiel Waste, is trying to claim this title. And that dude's name is Cooladin, and he is an antagonist in the book. We know he's coming next season. We saw some scripts referencing a Cooladin scene, and that is the dude standing behind Rand in this shot. And we know this because he's got dragon tattoos on his arms, which is a thing Cooladin does, that the Dragon Reborn is supposed to get those tattoos. We don't really know how Cooladin got them necessarily, but he's saying, this is my proof that I am the dragon. And they're debating this in front of the Aiel chiefs, is what this scene is.
I remember reading that in the book and being like, couldn't anybody have just gotten dragon tattoos and claimed to be the Messiah? Isn't that prophecy a little vulnerable to exploitation?
Yes, but it would be shameful. You would accrue an outsized amount of toe if you did that and be banished.
An outsized amount of toe. Is that an Aiel thing? Or yes, some kind of thing for energy.
That is an Aiel thing. They started talking about this in season two. I am sure we are going to hear a lot more about it in season three. So this is coming from this system called Gieto, which means honor and obligation. When you do honorable things, you accumulate G. When you do dishonorable things, you accumulate To, which is obligation. So I assume if you pretend to be the Dragon Reborn, you owe the IEL people an awful lot of obligation. We'll see how that shakes out for Culloden. That is a really important scene from the book. Again, very excited they're including it.
I just finished reading this book for the second time, and because I'm committed, and I remember it. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
Yeah, so the next one, and we are just glossing through a few images here. This trailer is absolutely packed. We did do a full breakdown of this at winterscoming.net if you want to go read it. We'll have a link in the chat at some point during this show. But this scene is interesting because this is not from The Shadow Rising, what we're looking at here. It is from the previous book, The Dragon Reborn. So here we're seeing Egwene's accepted trial. You remember Nynaeve's accepted trial, right, Dan?
It was good. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it was a highlight of the season. So this is the trial that that Aes Sedai novices go through to basically elevate to accepted, which is the next rank up. They go through these three arches where they're given visions. Visions, everyone's going to get a lot of visions in season three, probably, and in this show in general. So Egwene is the person all the way on the left in this scene. And she survived the stuff with the Shan Chan. She survived a lot, but she's still a novice, and the Aes Sedai are not fans of cutting corners. So she is going to have to go through these trials. That's Suwan Sanchi in the middle, who the One Power is coming off of. Next to her on the left is Leanne Sharif, who's her Keeper of Chronicles. I don't know who the person on the right is. That looks like a new character. So, yeah, very cool to see this because, you know, it's been an open question how much stuff from The Dragon Reborn they were going to include this season. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, I've read the first four books, and I have said before that I don't mind them remixing things, because to be entirely honest, if you have the entire span of books in front of you and you can massage them in a way that makes sense for TV, you're going to do some combining and some cutting, because there are things that repeat themselves in those books. I've had some folk argue forcefully, like, why are they doing the entirety of The Dragon Reborn and the entirety of The Shadow Rising? I'm like, because The Great Hunt and then The Shadow Rising are basically like The Great Hunt and then The Dragon Reborn are kind of the same book over and over. You can match some stuff.
Yeah, The Wheel of Time is one of those series where, like, I give it a lot of flexibility in terms of how it can adapt the books, because I think a straight adaptation would have been absolute madness. There's no way to do it. It would have been like 15 seasons long, and that's just not realistic for a show like this. Like, the actor playing Rand would have been like 50 by the time it ended. Like, you just can't do it. So yeah, I agree with you. Like, having the whole span of the books in front of you, like, figuring out how to best make that work for TV, because you're right, those first three books, so this is like a spoiler, non-spoiler. Rand basically fights as Shamael at the end of each of those three books. So it absolutely, I remember reading The Dragon Reborn and being like, I just want him to do something a little bit different at the end of one of these books.
I was like, is he dead yet?
Yeah.
Come on. Let's get a move on this thing.
Yeah. So
that's part of the reason it's a good series to adapt, because there are things to tweak. There are things to kind of massage.
Yeah, totally. And I think after this point, so after that first trilogy of books, I do think they get a little more varied, especially in the middle. So it'll be interesting to see how they make the following seasons work, because they have a lot of ground to cover, and it's not as easily condensable, all of it, as the stuff with the Shamael was. But yeah, so this is cool. Excited to see this. I also need to point out the weave colors here. The special effects have just gotten better and better on this show. So they're white and blue. That's because it's spirit and water. The weaves are different colors. And I think that we're going to see that even more this season, which is really exciting.
Neat.
Neat. But let's take a look at our next image, and we'll keep this one brief. So we included this one because, so obviously this is Rand and Moiraine standing before the Aiel Wise Ones, who are basically the Aiel's. Yeah, they're the equivalent of Aes Sedai, but for Aiel. Not all of them have the one power, but these are women, usually later in life, but a group of women who advise the chiefs and who the chiefs cross at their own peril. Like, they're not technically the rulers of the Aiel, but everyone listens to them because they'd be fools not to. So in order to get permission to do things like go to Ruidian, Rand and Moiraine have to present themselves to these wise ones. I thought it was interesting. This trailer puts such a large focus on the idea that Moiraine will have to die.
Yes, it does.
So without getting too heavy into spoilers, beyond the Shadow Rising, I will say she does not die in the Shadow Rising. It seems like they are looking to some other plot beats from other places in the series. And like you said, thinking about ways to work them in here. So I am, you know, I'm speculating here. I'm a little worried that we may see the last of Rosamund Pike, or the last of her, at least for a while this season, you know. Do you think that they're going to kill off Moiraine, Dan?
I mean, I haven't gotten this far in the books. I don't know. I'm going to guess she dies in the books eventually.
I'll never tell.
I can make it tell me. I didn't know that the press release was talking about, like, the Wheel of Time is a show about Randall Thor, young farm boy, yada, yada, yada. Where before, they always talked about it as if kind of Rand and Moiraine were the co-leads at the least.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they start transitioning out. But hey, I mean, a giant series like this is a marathon. And if that's the course of the books that Moiraine eventually goes, I wouldn't be surprised if they use it as a big climax. And they love using Rosamund Pike. Like, she was at the center of this show from the start, rightly or wrongly, mostly rightly, I'd argue. So
yeah.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, I think they've used Rosamund Pike as Moiraine really well. And I think that's an interesting observation you make about the press materials talking more about Rand this season, because, like, you know, this is Rand's story. Like, it's all of the character's story, but, like, Rand is the heart of it. And the show has kind of broadened it a little bit from the start. Like, the first few books are very heavily focused on Rand. Well, the first two, the third one, even though it's called The Dragon Reborn, he's in it a lot less.
That's true. How funny.
Yeah. But, you know, it is more obvious from the get-go that Rand is really, like, the first among equals, as it were, in terms of the main characters, whereas the show has kind of made that Moiraine a little bit. But it was never going to be able to keep that trajectory throughout the entire series. Like, Rand needs to be the character who carries a bit more of the weight. That is going to have to happen just because of the natural arc of the show and what Rand has to go through. So I do think that they are kind of, this is a transitional season for characters like Rand. And another one who's going to have a pretty crazy arc this season is Perrin, who we don't have a screenshot of here, but there's a very brief shot of him in the trailer where he's in a battle. He's got armor on. And yeah, Perrin's going to have a big season too. So, getting chills waiting thinking about it. But we've got one more shot to look at. So this is from left to right. It's the warder Maxim, the Aes Sedai Alana, and then the warder Yvonne. So that's Alana and her two warders. She's from the Green Aja. We've seen her in previous seasons. She was helping Lan with his depression last season after Moiraine gave him the cold shoulder. And this scene, so we see in the trailer, she's fighting Leandrin here, who is the Red Aja Aes Sedai, played by Kate Fleetwood, and her iron chiseled jaw. The one shot we see of her in the trailer in this scene, she's like, her face is covered in blood. So I'm guessing Leandrin's gonna fight her way out of Tar Valon right at the beginning of the season. You have any thoughts on these guys?
No, but I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this too. The one thing I will say is that they have front loaded a lot of development with Alana, who she is in the books. She makes a very important decision in, I believe, book five or six. I think they are making us like her more to make that land better. And also to make that land correctly, she's going to have to suffer a lot this season. So expect this to be a hard season for Alana. I'm imagining at least one of her warders will die. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the show. I like that. I hope it keeps going because it seems to be building momentum. I like that. Yes. It seems to be like the tide is rising. Also, the actors they've got in this thing, like I'm going to guess at the pronunciation, but I know they're Shohreh Aghdashloo is going to play the Aes Sedai Elida.
Yeah.
There are like all these middle-aged, like fierce, talented actresses with a ton of presence who are just perfect for these Aes Sedai roles.
Yep.
And they're taking advantage of it. So I like seeing that. And just this morning, I think we learned that Olivia Williams, who is currently playing Tula Harkonnen over on Doom Prophecy and doing a bang-up job of that, will play Queen Morghese, a queen of Andor.
Yes.
And that we got somebody named, a Portuguese actor named Nuno Lopes, as Lord Gabriel, her lover and advisor.
Yeah.
And then they're casting these... I think Daniel knows something, people. Yeah. And then a couple of actors are going to play her children, who are big characters who haven't been introduced yet. We got Luke Featherston, who's doing this kind of "I wish I was James Dean" look, as Gawain, Elaine's brother. And then Colm Kerr, who's doing this, I think I'm in a Netflix Christmas comedy movie, as their other older brother, Galad. Two important characters that we haven't introduced yet. This ensemble is huge, and they seem to actually be trying to include a lot of them, even though they only have 8 episodes per season or so. It's an impressive, ambitious feat. Also, in a fun little aside, the press release got the details wrong. They said that James Dean was playing Galad and Netflix Comedy Man was playing Gawain. And they got like the ages wrong, but they fixed it. I was almost going to write a post about like Netflix or Amazon corrects mistake, but then they emailed us and were like, sorry, we made a little mistake. Please change the number. Oh, okay. I'm 40.
Please don't shame us further. Yeah. So if you know, Wheel of Time fans watching this, listening on audio, if you have heard that, Gawain is now the older brother in the show, Galad's the younger, that was a mistake of the original press release. So, which is good because there's some lore that would have made that very weird to swap their ages without getting into deep series spoilers. Like Galad is, so basically this is Elaine Trakaon's family. We met Elaine during season 2. She's friends with Egwene. She's the princess of Andor, the daughter heir, because Andor's royal line passes down through the women rather than the men. And her mother is Morghese Trakaon, who we learned in this press release basically fought her way to the throne because the previous ruler died. And it led to this really bitter succession dispute. So Morghese really wants to prevent that from happening for Elaine. So Elaine is being prepared to be the ruler of Andor. Gawain is her blood brother, like full blood brother. Galad, who is the older one, is her half brother. That's in the books. They didn't mention the half brother whole sibling thing in the press release, so not 100% clear if they're going to include that, but I imagine they probably will. It's kind of
important. I don't know why they change it. I mean, it depends how far they want to go, how much they can get in. There was a mistake, it was corrected, not a big deal.
Yes,
we'll find out in March when it comes. I'm looking forward to this one quite a bit.
Me too. March 13th is when it premieres, so It is going to be a good time. I am so excited that we don't need to wait that long. Like, we got the, you know, the announcement for March 13th at the beginning of December, and like it's premiering in 3 months. Like, that's awesome. Like, good on them for, you know, not announcing it like 10 months ahead of time so that we have to wait a bajillion years.
I agree with Yingling, though. I am sad that Season 4 isn't greenlit yet. I'm a little nervous. The show seems good enough, has a big enough fan base, has quality enough to warrant more investment. I just hope they get it, and we'll figure out more as we get closer to premiere date.
Yeah. You know, when was Season 3 renewed? Because, okay, so it was renewed. Okay, so it got an early renewal for Season 3 in July 2022, but that was partially because they were already done filming, I believe. It'll be interesting to see how they handle that, because I think they got like a head start on their filming schedule, which is why they renewed so early for Season 3. Mm-hmm. But now they're caught up. So, yeah, I hope that they renew soon, too. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get a renewal announcement until the show premieres, though. I mean, it's only 3 months away. It seems like
It's not impossible this will be the last season of the show. It's not impossible that it'll cancel it. But I hope it's not going to happen.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. No, so it's not.
What are you talking about?
It's not impossible, but come on. Come on now. I'm just going to pretend that that's not even an option. The Boys is ending. The Rings of Power is a hot mess that has fans, but also is a hot mess. They need the Wheel of Time. That's what I'm going to tell myself to sleep better at night. But yeah, I would imagine. So Season 3 premieres in mid-March. Jordan Con, which is a popular like Wheel of Time fan convention, is in April. I think that sometime between the beginning of March and Jordan Con, we'll probably get that announcement. I really don't think it'll come sooner. And I just pray to the old gods and the new that this is not the last season, because there's a lot more story to do.
Speaking of the old gods and the new, let's blast through some Game of Thronesy stuff, because there is some stuff in that world going up, and quickly note.
Yeah,
we got Emma Darcy, star of House of the Dragon, got nominated for a Golden Globe for, which is yes, very nice. They were the only person from the cast to get it this year. I think last year, a couple more people were also nominated. But they are kind of the breakout star of the show, so I'm glad. They've been given interviews, a bunch of little fun things. They say they want a weapon next year, like a sword or a knife. Mostly so they can just have something to put their hands on during scenes that I can appreciate. I don't think we're going to see her near a fight or anything. I don't think they even go that far.
That's not her her style.
I also really liked her talking about, the best thing I liked out of these little interviews with Emma Darcy was them talking about how Rhaenyra is becoming more fanatical and kind of believing her own hype a bit. I think of maybe the scene where she locks a bunch of peasants in a room with a dragon and just tells them, have at it, and then stares down creepily from the balcony with glassy eyes as they all get chomped. And they were talking about, I want to test the audience's loyalty. I wonder how unsympathetic she can be. I would love that. I think the show has had a pretty big problem with not letting characters be bad or make bad decisions. And I'd be all for them really digging into Rhaenyra's darker side.
Yeah, that makes me really happy to hear too, because
that's them saying it, like they didn't write it.
Yes, that's true. This is just Emma Darcy's take on it, and I think Emma Darcy's take is really on point, because like that's kind of the whole story. Like my greatest fear with the way the show handles Rhaenyra. So in Fire and Blood, her trajectory is basically that she becomes so unlikable and awful that it turns a lot of people against her. And one part of that is propaganda, and a very large part of it is her own actions. So I think we need unsympathetic Rhaenyra. And my biggest fear is the show will go fully the route of she's a person doing her best and they turned on her anyway. And I think that would be just such a missed opportunity for to make Rhaenyra as juicy as she is in the novel. So fingers crossed. Listen to Emma Darcy, Ryan Condal.
Yeah.
Please.
Other Game of Thrones things happen. We got a new Game of Thrones video game called Game of Thrones King's Road coming out sometime next year. Ugh. It looks actually pretty. Here's the thing. It looks like a proper game, you play as a northern bastard, but not that northern bastard.
Indeed. And
like Jaime's in the trailer, Cersei's in it, Varys, Jon Snow. They're all fully animated, articulated. We have an actions thing. It's a mobile game, though, which just shocks any interest out of people who have really wanted a big, sprawling Game of Thrones video game for a long time. Not that it couldn't be good, but I don't know. I think folks have wanted like a big one for a long time. They might have missed their window. And this, I feel like it's only so good a mobile game can really be, like, so exciting. It just can't reach that level if you can't play it, if not designed to be played in a big screen.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. I saw the trailer for this. This was during the Game Awards. This trailer dropped for Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. King's Road. And I was like, oh, this looks awesome. And then it said, you know, the title of the game. And I was like, oh, this is the mobile game. And like I had a physical recoiling because, you know, not that there can't be good mobile games, but that's not the type of game this looks like, where it's like an action game, where it's big environments. They're calling it an open world game, and like an open world mobile game is like a weird proposition. Like, I don't believe you. Like, there's no way you're fitting the size of data that a typical open world game takes to run onto my phone.
You just keep waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Exactly. And,
I haven't stopped waiting.
Yeah.
But good for all the people interested in it.
I hope that the other shoe is a surprisingly fun croc of some kind. And instead of it being, oh, this is going to be awful, it's surprise, we're releasing it on consoles too. Because when I saw the trailer, I thought this looks like it deserves a console release. But I won't lie, this has worked its way into my subconscious enough that I was sleeping the other day and my wife like woke me up saying something about our walls. And I sleepily like groaned back like, no, it's north of the wall. They're north of the wall, because I had just been thinking about the fact that this Game of Thrones King's Road game is a mobile game and how that wounds my soul. Because like you said, people have been waiting for a proper Game of Thrones video game on console for a long time. We just haven't really gotten one. And I don't know that we will, but we'll see.
It's haunting your dreams. Wow.
Apparently.
Your work home with you.
I'm upset enough that I'm grumbling about the King's Road game in my sleep. Make of that what you will. This is what we do for love on this podcast here, listeners and viewers.
By the way, Julie, hello. Can't be with us today for the appointment. That's fine. Have a good time. Wish us a Merry Christmas.
Hope all's well.
This is our last live show of the year. We'll have a pre-recorded show out on New Year's Day. We'll probably skip next week being Christmas Day. But we don't see you guys again. Merry Christmas. And then we'll see you in the new year, live, of course. Finally, in Westerosi news, there's a new A Song of Ice and Fire calendar on the way. They have one of these every year. There's always get like a new illustrator to make some lavish images for each month. This time it's Tom Kidd. We haven't images yet, but it's all going to be about Duncan Egg, the stars of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which makes sense because next year they're going to have the new HBO Game of Thrones prequel show, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, come out on HBO sometime in the back half of the year, probably. The curious thing was that some of the images will include the pair of them, Duncan Egg, Sir Duncan the Tall, and Egg, his squire, on Essos, which they do not go to in the novellas, which kind of raises the question of, if they adapt all three novellas that are out, what do they do? I doubt it's a thing they've really thought of hard yet. Maybe they have an idea for them to go to Essos for an adventure. I know that George R. R. Martin has ideas for stories set there where Dunk like joins the Golden Company or whatever.
Yeah.
So who knows what that foretells? I'm sure they're dreading crossing that bridge.
Yeah, probably rightly so, because I think the track record of running out or deviating from George's source material has been spotty at best in a lot of instances. That I'm curious too, both about what A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms will do and also about this calendar and what it will see. The calendars are always fun. I don't usually get them, to be honest, just because you have to order them real far in advance. They sell out and stuff. But this one I might make an exception for, because it is really interesting to think about Dunkin' Egg in different locations, because we haven't seen them in a lot of locations. Like you said, there are only three novellas. There are 12 months in the year. So that means we'll presumably see a bunch of stuff we haven't seen before in this calendar.
I think you should get it. I'm curious.
Well, perhaps I will. Perhaps 2025 will be the year. There's one other Westeros thing. Do we want to mention the Winds of Winter update thing? Do you think that's worth
getting into? Not really. There's nothing. It's like an author said something at a conference. People interpreted it as knowledge about Winds of Winter, and then he went on Reddit and was like, no, not really. I don't really know much.
Yeah, please stop DMing me. I don't know the things you think I know. I was just talking about how many pages fit in a book. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. So if you see videos on YouTube, friends, about like the truth about that Winds of Winter update, know that there's really no update. It was just someone musing about the size books can be. But yeah. Should we proceed out of Westeros and into Staten Island and elsewhere?
What are we watching? What are you watching? What are we watching? What are they watching? Quite a lot. This is a busy end of the year. I found myself with a lot of TV to watch. The other night, I watched the finale, the series finale of What We Do in the Shadows, that vampire sitcom run for 6 years on FX. Just a fun show. Just a fun, good show. Never took itself that seriously. Combined like The Office with Interview with the Vampire, basically. A goofy mockumentary show that had lavish vampire costumes and elaborate sets and action scenes. Fun show. I just liked it the whole way through. It was always solid. I'll miss it. Hope it gets sort of, I don't know. I'd watch a spinoff probably. So congrats. Yeah. We Do in the Shadows for giving us six fun years.
Yeah. What We Do in the Shadows is always a good time. I have not seen all of the final season yet, but like I've never had a bad time watching What We Do in the Shadows. I'll watch as much more as they feel like given if they decide to revisit that show in the future. But I'm glad
I feel like they had another year in them, but it's good to go out before things start to tumble downhill too much. So I respect that too.
Yeah, totally agree with that. The main things I've been watching Silo. It's so much. You're right. It is a busy time of the year. I've been watching Silo, starring Rebecca Ferguson, on Apple TV Plus. That is just rock solid. It's just been a great sci-fi show. It reminds me a lot of The Expanse. It's got a similar sort of like scrappy, just all around goodness. It doesn't feel like a big, huge, you know, gigantic show. It's just like they pick their story and they're doing it really damn well with like really good actors. Like Rebecca Ferguson's great. Steve Zahn is giving like the performance of his career on this show as this like anxiety ridden survivor in another silo who has agoraphobia and can't be outside his vault for too long. He's doing excellent. Tim Robbins is amazing. Silo is excellent this season. It was renewed this week for seasons 3 and 4, which will finish the show. Speaking of shows that are going out on their own terms, that is what they estimated for like finishing the book trilogy by Hugh Howey. Yeah. So that's the right call for that show, in my opinion.
I will hop on this train, especially now that I know it's going to finish. It's going to have like a completed series. I just got to find some time. There's too much going on. Like I'm also watching that Star Wars Skeleton Crew show, which is cute.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, they're only like half hour episodes.
Yeah.
I mean,
are you enjoying it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm watching it half out of, so I'm able to like talk about it intelligently and review it and edit things. And half because, I mean, I've seen worse. Yeah. It's diverting. It's cute. It's got an 80s vibe. I can't say that I'm like thrilled to bits by it. But yeah, kids are lost in space. Got to get home. Jude Law is winning as a sort of sulky, sassy, force using criminal captain. I like him.
Yeah.
I like the prosthetic blue elephant boy. I think he's fun to look at. And it's been nice.
Yeah. I agree. I have been enjoying Skeleton Crew. I really don't like the Suburbia planet because it just depressed me.
Yeah, you really hated it. I don't quite know why.
Look, all I'm saying is Anakin Skywalker's life as a literal slave was less depressing than the life of those children and their standardized tests on that planet.
I think Daniel might have some issues we can dig into another time or in therapy.
Possibly.
Go on.
But I will say, so Skeleton Crew, I am enjoying it. I think it's a lot of fun. The thing that is making it me not be like too hard on it is that I think Skeleton Crew is like a kid's show that's not ashamed to be a kid's show. And yeah. I give it a lot of credit for that because it's not trying to, you know, capture all the adults in the room. Like, it's a show about a bunch of kids and they're being a bunch of kids. Yeah. And like, that's cool. So like, I'm not the target audience for it. So like, why would I like hard critique it? You know what I mean? Like, ask the kids what they think of it, because I imagine a lot are probably really enjoying it.
Yeah,
and I love,
I'm really happy if people are talking to that.
Yeah. I also am loving the like pirate vibes. One of the people who worked on it said they were inspired by these games called Monkey Island, which were very old LucasArts games about pirates. And I think that vibe comes through in Skeleton Crew a lot.
I play Monkey Island, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, Guybrush Threepwood.
I mean, it's very obviously Treasure Island, too, especially this last one.
I haven't seen the new one. I need to watch that one.
Blind Pew as the robot.
Fun.
It's Jude Law as
Long John Silver.
Long John Silver, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We're much there.
Yeah.
By the way, Chris left some messages away, but I hope I'm embarrassing you, but just FYI, I also saw Joker 2, and I also thought it was whatever, and I also want to see Severance Season 2 very, very badly. Here come January. Yeah,
same. Coming in January. The other things, there's just so much right now. So I watched, I'll just say briefly, because it's not a sci-fi fantasy thing, this show called Bad Monkey on Apple TV Plus, starring Vince Vaughn as a washed-up detective. It's set in Florida. It's by this author, Carl Hyacin, who's very famous for writing like Florida comedic thriller novels. Yeah. Bad Monkey is based on one of his books, and they like nailed that show. It's one of the shows I've probably enjoyed more that I've seen this year, because it's just like the sense of humor was on point and there was like never a bad moment. He's chasing this serial killer who is just like hilariously awful. She's just hilariously awful the way she talks to people. So yeah, really, really great show. The other big thing, so two more real quick, I'll do them rapid fire.
Yeah.
Reading Ambessa, Chosen of the Wolf, the new Arcane book that comes out in February by C.L. Clarke, and I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm going to go so far as to say that I think for people who enjoyed Arcane, that's probably going to be a must read, because it gives you the backstory of the main villain for season two. And C.L. Clarke is like the perfect person to write it. The other one that I need to shout out is I saw The Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim.
Yes, you did.
And it was
Rohirrim. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, that the Rohan Horse Lord movie. I saw it and it was pretty good. I had a good time with it. I give it kind of like a 6 out of 10. I think the plot reused some beats from Lord of the Rings a little bit too much for my taste, for me to totally let it get away with it. Like, the main character Hera is basically proto Eowyn in terms of her story arc. Her cousin Feyerolf has the exact same arc as Eomir up until like the very last scene, where it's a little different, where he's trying to give advice to the king and then he's banished and then he stays loyal anyway. Like, very, very similar. But the scene by scene writing I thought was pretty good. I thought the movie did a great job of adapting the Helm Hammerhand story while still making its own story about his daughter, who is in the book, who Tolkien just kind of forgets about after saying like Helm had a daughter. He tried to marry her off and it didn't go well and it started a war. The animation is the other thing. Smidge choppy. I think the initial reviews that kind of commented on the animation not being quite as good as we would have hoped were on point. So I think it is unfortunately bombing pretty bad, right?
Yes. It didn't cost much either, to be fair. So we'll see if it equals out. I'm probably not gonna. I don't know. Their reviews have been pretty. It's not bad. I think I can do better than that.
Yeah,
but I'm glad folks have been enjoying it. And yeah, Light Blinded Fool. We did wrap up the Wheel of Time bits, but it's back at the beginning. This video will be up forever, rather soon. Will.
I just need to show off my War of the Rohirrim cup.
That's fun. I do like that.
This is probably one of the movie theater things that I've liked more out of these merches that all these studios are now really hard on the merch train in a way I don't think they were.
Yeah.
But I blame it all on the Dune popcorn bucket. I feel like that is what started the trend this year where companies are like, oh, hell yeah. People will shell out extra for a nice popcorn bucket. Or a cup, maybe.
Other than that, and like Barbie and Oppenheimer, I think studios feel the need to, it can't just be a movie. Like, folks just aren't going to the movies as a matter of course. You have to get them, it's got to be an event, something which special, is not, something extra.
Which is not wrong, to be fair. I think, you know, my wife made a comment today, like, War of the Rohirrim will probably be on streaming in like a couple weeks. I think that's probably pretty fair, and like, I don't really blame people if they just wait for it to be on streaming. Like, it doesn't feel like an event movie you have to go see. It's just a nice way to return to Middle Earth over the holidays if you are inclined to and you enjoy doing that.
I can put it on TV and do dishes to watching that. Yeah,
it's that. Yeah, it's that type of movie. But happy for everyone enjoying it. I had a great time watching it. I'm not trying to totally shade it. 6 out of 10 is what I would give it.
Cool. And finally, Martha asks, we're going to be interested in the Dexter prequels coming up next year. I know I'm probably not. Daniel, really quick, are you or not? You can't go on a 5-minute rant. I'm sorry.
All right. I'll give you a 1-minute rant. No, I'm
10
not,
seconds.
I'm not really that interested, Martha. I'm one of those people who's very bitter about Dexter season 8. And I thought the revival they did was a good way to kind of redeem the ending of Dexter. But at this point, it feels like they just are milking him from beyond the grave. Dexter is gone. They should have let that serial killer rest in peace. And instead, they are just making him their cash cow till he's 80. So I might check it out, but I have strong feelings about the way they're handling Dexter as a property.
Finally, I have to say that I've watched the second season of Squid Game. I've gotten to watch it a little early. I can't say anything about it. Netflix has been very specific. I can't give a review. I can give like the general list of impressions. So all I'll say is Squid Game, game on, and you can interpret it however you like.
Okay.
I wish I could. I want to tell you about it, but I can't. Check back on the day after Christmas.
Yes, I want you to tell us about it. I'm excited that Squid Game is coming back. That's a show I feel like it's probably going to be pretty good.
All right. And finally, let's go to the WIC News Lightning Round, where we blast through some stories.
Let's do it.
We couldn't talk about anybody on the show and give our 20-second opinions, no more, no less. Daniel, first one I know that you care very deeply about. The Bear star, Jeremy Allen White, will play Jabba the Hutt's son in the Mandalorian movie. Come on.
Oh, man. Yep. The Bear guy is Rod of the Hutt. That is the most absurd news I've ever heard. Apparently Rada will be like jacked. Like, I don't know how that works. I'm picturing it as Jabba's son was so distraught that he died that he turned to lifting weights, swore it would never happen to him, and now he looks like Jeremy Allen White.
So 5 feet of fury. Okay.
Yes, exactly. Here's an interesting one. So Henry Cavill's Warhammer 40,000 show is officially moving forward at Amazon.
You know, it is Warhammer 40K. All the nerds know that.
My bad.
This miniature war game is set in the future, going to have a show. Henry Cavill is beloved by the internet. I feel like he still is. I feel like we haven't crossed a Rubicon with him yet. So anything he touches, especially if it's a nerdy thing, seems to get some juice. And this show will have juice as it gets closer to the time. Daniel, I know you want to talk about this.
Hell yeah, I do.
CD Projekt Red, the video game developers, are developing a video game called The Witcher 4. They have a trailer for it. You now play as Geralt of Rivia's protege and surrogate daughter, Ciri.
Yes. Yes, you do. This trailer looks awesome. I love The Witcher 3. We've been waiting like a decade for this game. There are a lot of people on the internet mad you play Ciri. You're all fools. You're fools. Obviously, you were going to play as Ciri. This is the right choice. They set this up perfectly in The Witcher 3, and That's the course of the books too. So like, yeah, Siri, I'm ready for a Siri game. Give it to me now. Okay. Now that I've ranted and insulted people on the internet, which that's none of our viewers. Let's be real here. Look up. It's a teaser for the new Superman trailer, which is coming tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Obviously a big deal. They want to make a Superman movie. There have been a lot over the years. He doesn't seem to have the instant hit maker status of Batman, who's just in the cinemas round the clock, round the year, every couple of years, a new one. But they're going to try again. And James Gunn is a talented man, so I'm curious to what he can bring anything new to this 100-year-old story.
Yeah.
Daniel, more Witcher stuff. I saved it just for you.
Yes.
There is a real life version of Gwent, which is a card game from the Witcher games, coming out in our world. What does this mean? What do you think about it?
Yeah. So in The Witcher 3, there is a card game called Gwent. Everybody loved it because it's a really, really well made card game within the game. People have been asking for a physical version of Gwent that they could play with their friends at game night for years, and finally one is being made. It's releasing in late 2025. It's only going to be $40. It's coming with like 400 cards. They look just like the game. Sign me up for Gwent. All right. Dan, now I'll give you one I know you're excited for. Wicked Part 2 got a new title. It is now officially called Wicked for Good.
I really liked the Wicked movie. I like musicals a lot, and I like good musicals. And I like good movie musicals, and those are surprisingly hard to come by. So I really enjoyed it. They played games with those titles, though. They did not say the Wicked Part 1 was Part 1. They just called it Wicked. And now they're going to call this Wicked for Good. At least people know it's a sequel this time. So playing games, Universal. I see.
They are.
What do they get this? Chris Evans and Haley Atwell, who played Captain America and Peggy Carter, are returning to the Marvel Cinematic Universe for Avengers Doomsday. We don't know what capacity, but they're doing it. Oh my God.
I'm just exhausted. That's my reaction to this. And I love Chris Evans. So he showed up in Deadpool and Wolverine and I loved it. I'm hopeful that they'll do this well somehow. I just think Marvel is super out of juice, man. It's really hard for me to drum up any sort of excitement, and this announcement does not change that. If anything, it's the opposite. All right, now that I've poo-pooed all over Chris Evans, here is one final bit of fun news.
Go on.
Yeah, that's right. Poop jokes everywhere. They're funny, and I can't stop making them, apparently. So One Piece, the popular show about pirates doing pirates stuff, the live-action One Piece Season 2 finished filming.
Cool. Yeah, I enjoyed the first one. It's one of the most famous manga in the world, one of the most famous anime shows in the world, and now a pretty good live-action series on Netflix. I believe it's due out late next year. They'll have to work at it, but there's a lot coming next year, and we will be talking about it all in a new episode of our little podcast where we kind of look forward to the 15 sci-fi and fantasy shows that we're looking forward to the most next year. That'll be going up probably on New Year's Day, two Wednesdays from now. Next Wednesday, we are off because it's Christmas time. So happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Happy holidays.
Relax. Chill. Eat cookies. And then we'll be back the Wednesday after New Year's Day for a new live show for a new live year. So thanks for watching, everybody, all this year. Thanks for watching us today. If you want to watch more of us or listen to us in podcast form, you can go do that. iTunes, YouTube Music, our YouTube backlog. We can see us talk with our mouths while we discuss things like this. That can be fun. And thanks for a fun year. I've enjoyed talking to you, Daniel. I've enjoyed talking to all of you.
Right back at you, Dan.
In the comments.
It's been a great year here on the show.
Isn't it? From all of us at the pod to all of you, Merry Christmas, happy holidays, good luck, good night, and goodbye.
Ho, 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 and take care.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.